Everyone, thank you so much for joining us today. I think you're going to be really excited about listening to our guest. She's someone that you may have heard about or come across in the technology world, whether you may be a small company or a large company, but I think you're going to really enjoy this conversation. Her name is Neeti Mehta Shukla. She is the co-founder and senior vice president of Automation Anywhere. She helps with leading brand and culture strategies and initiatives across the company. She's an avid strategist, and she brings over 20 years of business management, marketing, and entrepreneurial experience from a wide variety of industries. So, Neeti, did I miss anything in that intro?
No, that's excellent. Very nice to be here, Angela.
Oh, thank you so much. So, Neeti, a lot of people are probably listening to this thinking, okay, Automation Anywhere. Can you explain a little bit about what you do and what the company does? And then we'll get more into how you focus and how you help other businesses. But if you can give us an idea in general of what your company does, that would be fantastic.
Absolutely. So, as you know, that technology has kind of been the backbone of many businesses now for the last 30 to 50 years. And every business has many technologies it works with. So you might have a process that is to pay, for example, payroll or pay bills or pay an invoice or, have a logistic process or open a bank account. Doesn't matter which business or industry you're in. You use technology as a part of all these processes. And what we've seen in the last 30 to 50 years is that many such technologies have come to be, and they're really good at what they do, but they're not very good at communicating with each other, especially if you want to automate tasks or automate processes so that you become a little bit more efficient as a business. So let's say you wanted to automate the process of opening a bank account. And the benefit of that would be that you could do it faster, you could probably do it without errors, and you could do it a little bit more customer-focused or customer-centric, serve your customer better by doing so. But what was happening was a bank that wanted to do so wasn't really able to because they couldn't automate between applications. So robotic process automation is the technology that we have at Automation Anywhere. We developed this technology, and it has been evolving for the last 16 to 17 years. And it allows you to automate between applications so that you can automate a process, a specific part of a process, or end to end. It also changed the landscape of automation because you did not need to be a developer or you did not need to be an engineer to automate a process. It was targeted at a business user, targeted at people who could self-serve, quickly learn how to use this technology and help themselves really get to better productivity, better efficiency. And this is great for companies large and small. It's great for a division, it's great for a team, and it's also great for an individual. So that's what Automation Anywhere does. We deliver robotic process automation technology. The technology is intelligent. It uses a lot of artificial intelligence and machine learning so that the bots you build to help you really can be your enabler, be a human enabler, and allow you to do better.
So interesting, because I don't know if I'm on target here, but I think I've heard more and more about this in the last 2 to 3 years. Is that correct? Or, is it more in the market now? I think it's a lot because there's a lot of businesses that are being created, but has it been around for a long time and I just didn't know about it? Or, is it talked about more in today's world?
So we created it 16 and a half years ago, I guess. So it has been there for a while. But like any technology, it has evolved, one. Two is the industry has sat up and taken notice, I think, for the last 5 years as a mainstream technology. And so right now, almost, I would say, 100%, if not 90% of Fortune 1000 companies or Fortune 2000 companies might even have robotic process automation as a part of their tech stack.
Absolutely. So I'm curious, I want to learn more about this. However, you know, this is so interesting. I'm sure a lot of people would love to know how you got into this industry and what your journey was. So did you, you know, go to school and automatically know that this was the direction you wanted to go? Or did you change careers along the way?
So I'm a marketing person as well as an entrepreneur. And so when we started this company, it was my husband, Mihir, and I. And Mihir was a technologist. And we've both worked at many companies and many technology companies where we really felt there was a layer of efficiencies and productivity issues that were going to come to be because of the way technology had evolved, because of the way data had evolved. We have so much of data now for each, let's say, application that you use in a company. And all these, if these applications don't talk, basically those data is, that data is then in silo, and a company cannot make great decisions or get to that next level of evolution without having that taken care of. So we came at it from that angle where automation was required in order to better productivity and efficiency. And it had to be automation that was a little bit more democratized, where business users as well as developers could automate processes or tasks for themselves. So the premise of that hasn't changed in 17 years. That's how we started. And like any other product, technology evolves constantly. We learn from our customers every day. And the technology now is so robust and so well received by verticals across the board. You could be a bank, you could be a hospital, you could be a mom and pop store, you could be a dry cleaners, you could be a university, you could be the government and or a government organization, and you would still find a way to use RPA to better your productivity. And that was key, I think. And once we started the journey, we knew we were onto something that was going to change the world. And we're here.
That's great. And it must be very exciting for you to see a company go from, you know, one level and go to a new level because of this automation. And if so, we'd love to know if you have a couple of examples of, you know, even a smaller company versus a larger company and, you know, what, you know, how they were impacted once they started going down this route in this direction.
Absolutely. I'll give you an example that is a little bit more relevant in today's world. We have NHS, which is, the health service in the UK. And they recently used Automation Anywhere to create an oxygen bot that would basically automatically track the oxygen levels across all the ventilators in the hospital. And given the pandemic and the overworked healthcare workers on the front line, this was basically the matter of life and death, not to mention relieving them of that constant worry of monitoring it. Now, this is a very complex process. It has to take into account data from many systems, and it has to be that reliable. And so that's a great example of how automation has really helped at the ground level. Everything from payroll to, processing invoices. We have, I'll give you another healthcare example, a company that basically does blood tests. The fact that you can deliver a blood test result in a few hours versus a few days can change, some person's life or a health issue for somebody. And these are great examples from healthcare that really affect people on the ground on a daily basis. Now, if you extrapolate it to regular business, where it could be something as simple as insurance claims, everybody has, filed an insurance claim at some point or the other in their life. And now a claim, as long as it follows all the regular rules and it's not an exception, the rules are already defined. Hey, if you have a fender bender and your car is this model and this is the approximate cost of replacing it, and as long as we see pictures or validate it, the insurance company is going to give you a certain amount. Now, that can be an automated process, and somebody who is in a fender bender could get that insurance money overnight versus waiting 2 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever else it is that we wait right now. Extrapolate that to a larger system where, let's say, we have the fires raging in California right now and houses burning down, and an insurance company could, automate their processes a little bit more efficiently and deliver that money to the people, as and when or as urgently as they need it, versus waiting 6 months, 8 months in order to get all the applications done and, go through the inefficiencies that has been created because of these siloed technologies that companies work with. So there are very many examples, and we have companies, everybody from NHS to, Santander Bank or GSK. We can name any of the large companies really in any vertical that would use us.
That is fascinating and extremely fascinating on the oxygen area with the with the pandemic that's going on right now. Have you been utilizing that technology now with the pandemic right now, or is it too early? Because I know that the pandemic, of course, caught everyone off guard, right? So is that something that companies would look at in the future, or was that something that they were able to use now?
Now, that's the greatness of the technology, because, we live in a generation now where everything you expect to happen now. You can't wait 6 months for something or 12 months for something. Think of sports, while we're playing sports, the coach needs, data or makes judgments while the game is in progress, and then, switches his game to deal with whatever he's facing. But we can't deal with data, 6 months down the line or 12 months down the line. The pandemic is now. And so a lot of companies, from healthcare to insurance to banks, to government organizations. So the stimulus package, banks had to obviously look through the claims and approve them, and everything had to happen really, really fast. And automation was a big, big part of it. So we were able to mobilize super quickly. And that's the key to RPA, that it's democratized. You can create bots in weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and have it ready to go, and keep evolving it as well. And bringing it to small businesses, in a time when times are tough, all the more reason you have limited resources and you need bots, I think, to some extent, to help you with the day to day when they can, of course. I absolutely think it's immediate. I think it's doable. And I think you should take advantage of technology because it can give you that little bit of an edge or that little bit of a tide over. To get to that next level that you need to.
Absolutely. And it's so interesting. I could sit here and talk to you for hours about various different types of industries, because I can see the impact that it could have on their organization, where, this is not a conversation that a business owner may have on a day-to-day basis. So with that being said, who makes these decisions? Is it a panel of the senior management of a company? Is it the CEO? Is it the engineers? Who makes these decisions to say, we need to make this change and this is what we need to do? What have you found that has been the group that makes this decision?
So again, I think there's a spectrum across every industry and every type of company. So the key to this is the democratization. So we have customers who basically started with one pain point, one person who was looking to solve a problem for their company, big or small, and decided to look for technology that would help them. And they found us, and they were able to quickly learn, ramp up, and within a month or so start developing bots themselves and took care of their own problem. And then they see the value that they were able to provide and then extrapolate and expand and then make, automate even more processes or more tasks and go further. We've had companies who have a agenda or a goal in a particular division, for example, to say we need to, cut the costs of, time that it's taking, for example, or cut the costs because the data is just stagnating and by the time we get the reports, they're really useless, etc. So we'll sometimes have a company that will come up with a goal for a division or a team, and they will be looking for software for RPA and find it and then use that to solve that problem. And then we have the at the most strategic level, a CIO or a CTO of an organization, sometimes the COO, who will come and say, you know, as a, the organization as a whole has to get to a better level of efficiency because we need to have a competitive edge, or we need to serve our customers better. I mean, which bank wouldn't want to open an account in 2 hours versus 4 days? You know, so there are certain strategic aspects of this. And then the mandate would be a little bit more from a strategic level, from an from a C team member that would say, okay, let's look at technology and what it can deliver. And then we'll have somebody that will, you know, use this technology across the entire bank or across all their operations. So we see the gamut. We see everybody from a single user to teams using it, to divisions using it, to companies using it. We have countries using it. So it really is citizen development all the way to company or organization or country development.
And when you said country, that was my next question. That, you know, my mind is racing thinking, wow, a company could do this or it could go to this level. And I could see where it could be, you know, really exciting to see the development from going from one department to another to another. And I could even see if you had a company that's, let's say, based in the U.S. and they wanted to make a change and go into the global market, that what you're doing could be very advantageous to making that to be more of a smooth transition.
Exactly. Again, everything that you can automate, I think you should automate, whether you're a small business or a large business, because then you can concentrate on the customer.
There you go. You know, it's interesting. I'm married to an engineer, and I'm not an engineer. The thing I've learned is that things have to make sense. And I found that a lot of engineers are like this. And so on this podcast, we always talk about how you focus and how you refocus. And tell me if I'm wrong, but I would see where there has to be times that things may go wrong. Or maybe they don't. I don't know. But working with so many different companies, you've got different personalities, you know, different attention span as well. And so, you know, let's say you have a business owner or a CEO of a mid-sized company, and something does go wrong, you know, and it could even, you know, be on their end as well, and they're frazzled. How do you keep them calm when it comes to that? Because, you know, a lot of times as a business owner myself, you always worry about the wrong information getting out there or going to the wrong place. How do you keep that calm with your customers? Because it sounds like you work with a lot of different types of individuals. And so I'm sure you've had to run across that once or twice.
Of course. So there are many parts to that, many parts of an answer to that question. Mm-hmm. But one is, of course, you want to have checks and balances and processes in place in order to guide as much as you can that delivery. And you really have to spend a lot of time and effort doing so. And then the second part of it is we look at customers as our partners in a way. So their success is our success. So what can you do as an organization or as a group of employees to help that customer through that problem, whatever the reason of that problem is, whether it's a technology, whether it's some internal issue, whether it's a pandemic, right? So what can we do to help them because we're in it together? That's the second part. And the third part is more on a personal level. I think you just focus on the end mission, you know, and you come at it with a very practical yet empathetic look, and you find solutions around that, you know. What's reasonable? How can we get there? And what was our end goal? And how do we kind of keep that focus on that end goal and deliver success? If the customer is successful, you are successful. So you just keep that in mind and you do the best you can with the right intent and go that extra mile, and hopefully it works out.
Yeah, I love that answer. It's interesting. Our company, about a year and a half ago, we were manufacturing a product overseas and we were involved in an email phishing scam and lost $25,000. And I remember even our staff was so devastated. And I said, look, I said, it's 25,000. It's not 25 million. And what we do today is we learn from, you know, the mistakes or whatever went wrong. And we, you know, we move forward. And it really had an impact on each one of them. And I think that was a real learning process for all of us. And so I appreciate that answer so much, because even in today's pandemic, I think it's been a learning experience for a lot of different companies as well, to say, okay, what happens if our company were impacted by something? You know, how do we fix that? Or how do we become more prepared? It's difficult, as you know, to be, you know, 100% prepared on everything, because sometimes you don't know what can happen. But I think a lot of that is all in the leadership's attitude as well. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. It's all about the attitude. I think it's the attitude, the intent, and I think the humanity, I guess, of how you deal with any problem.
Right. And one of the things I was reading about you, and there was a comment I read about you, and it said that you thrive on holistically negotiating the evolving character of marketing programs, and you love to play customer. And I would love for you to explain that, because I was fascinated when I read it, and I read it over like two or three times thinking she must really enjoy her job because she's putting herself in her client's position.
I think that's, in my opinion, the only way to be successful, really, is that if you can look at it from what you're delivering from the customer's eyes. Because if you get that right, not only do you have a great product or a great company at that point, but you have a great customer relationship. Again, your customer is successful, hopefully, and so are you. So I think anything, whether it's a marketing program or whether it's a product that you're delivering to them, you really have to look at it from the customer's eyes. The customer is king or queen in that sense. And we really must understand them, what drives them, what really will make their life easier, and what's reasonable for them. And, use that to kind of connect with them and then deliver the best product or service that we have to them.
Absolutely. Before we had started this podcast today, you and I were talking, and we were talking about, you know, business owners and, you know, that drive. And you made a statement. You said, you know, they have to have that drive, you know, within them, that they can, you know, go as far and as high as they want. And I'm sure you've seen that in many different individuals. And as we noted before, you work with small companies and large companies as well. But, you know, what advice would you give that small business owner that, you know, they may be intimidated by, you know, this whole topic, right? But they're brilliant in the area of their business, or they wouldn't have a business, right? So if they were coming to you per se, and they were intimidated, but they loved what they did, what advice would you give to that business owner at that time, whether they were working with you or another company, just to continue to keep going?
So one thing I will mention is I have never met an entrepreneur who really will do everything he can and has that drive. So really, they are the most fearless people I have met. And being one, I know it's that fearlessness, or that, how should we say, the attitude that I'm okay to fail, that gets you anywhere. So never be afraid to try out something new. You know, do it with your eyes open, be commonsensical about it, and pivot or change when it's not working. You know, don't get married to a way of doing something instead of achieving something. But at the same time, these are the people who will move mountains in order to get something done. Now, where automation is concerned, Automation Anywhere works very closely to try and build that ecosystem of technology as your partner with small businesses. So we have, for example, the Community Edition, which is the free version of the software. And it's the exact same version that, you know, the Enterprise Fortune 50 use. Download it. It's free. Try it out. Try out different things to get there. We have learning, free learning. So you could go to Automation Anywhere University, for example, and self-train yourself. And within a month or two, you'll be able to see the value and find ways that you can use, for example, this technology to help your company. like that, I'm sure there are many technologies. And, you know, the internet's a great thing because it has really made learning so accessible apart from technology. And so you can self-learn anything if you have the right focus and the right access. So get the access, it's free. Get the technology, often it's free. And then use them, try it out, you know, see how you can better constantly evolve, you know, how you run your business. And I think that's part of being an entrepreneur. That's part of being a small business. And I think it's always part of being a big business. You want to continuously learn and continuously evolve.
Absolutely. The, you know, we talked a little bit about failure. We get a lot of individuals who will write to us and say, you know, that, and that's one of their biggest questions is that, you know, they have, sometimes they have difficulty, you know, rebounding from that failure. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever experienced that. And if you have, we'd love to hear that. If not, if somebody comes to mind without naming names, can you kind of give them some inspiration about, you know, if they're kind of at their low point, what they can do to start new?
You know, there's an age-old saying that says Rome wasn't built in a day. It's a little bit like that. You know, failure is a part of any journey. And yes, you'll be low for a few days or a little time because you've put your heart and soul into creating that or working towards something. And but that's okay. You shake it off and you keep going. If the end goal is very clear and focused in your mind and you keep working towards that till you reach that end goal, if you haven't reached that end goal, that means you've got to change something and you keep changing till you get there. So to some extent, you know, where Automation Anywhere is concerned, just like every other entrepreneur, we've had many, many, many ups and downs. And that's what you do. You know, learn from the downs and try not to repeat mistakes because they're costly and they're expensive and they, you know, cost time as well. But, you know, you shake it off and you keep going. There have been products that or features within a product that we have attempted many, many times and failed, either because the feature wasn't robust enough or because we were ahead of our times. Or because the industry was asking for something that technology was not ready to provide. But the, you know, we basically wait or hibernate it or come at it from a completely different angle, wipe the board clean, start again. And you do it till you get it right. And, you know, there's a time and place for everything sometimes. Sometimes it's not the right time. Sometimes it's not the right place. But if the thought is right and the focus is right and you know there's a vision behind it and there's a verified need and data behind it, not just a feeling, a data behind, yes, this will work and this is how it will work and this is how it will benefit companies, then stay at it and stay focused till you get there.
I love that. So in terms of inspiration, you know, we're all about that. We're all about kindness and being inspired and encouraging other individuals and companies. For you, who has inspired you in your lifetime? Does anybody come to mind or even other companies? I mean, who's inspired you?
I always find that question really, really hard because I believe there are just too many to count. Too many people, too many companies, you know, I don't know, I say this, you know, it's hard to meet a person where you can't find something that you can learn from them, you know, and you take that every single time you meet someone to better yourself or to better a way you are doing something at work or to better your company. And with that attitude of continuous learning, I think inspiration is every day. It's with every person and every company you meet. Having said that, I would think, you know, we as parents, those of us who are, know based on our own experiences, you know, how great it is to have parents, I guess, who are constantly supportive. My parents were. And so I find them extremely inspirational. And I hope to do the same for my children. Also Mihir, whom I work with as well, my husband. He's the CEO of Automation Anywhere. And, you know, he's very inspirational. I've learned a lot from him over the years, you know, working with him, living with him. And I think it's been great. It's been a really, really great journey.
I love that. So how, you know, it's interesting. We had a episode recently with a marriage coach who was talking about parents and then husband and wives that were working together. And especially during this pandemic has been a little difficult. And so if you had to give any piece of advice to a married couple that's in business together, because it, as you know, it can be great, but it can have its challenges. What advice would you give to those people?
Ooh, that's a tough one. No, the advice is, you know, can just learn from each other. I think I would go back to that because you've obviously chosen to spend your life together. And don't forget that love and that family that you are creating together. And at the same time, having the opportunity to learn from each other and with each other. I think, as you mentioned, is really tough in certain ways and really, really great in certain ways. So I would just say, you know, if it's the right thing for you and you're able to put in the hard work behind it, because it's a lot of hard work there, and then it's a great journey to have together.
Absolutely. The, you know, it sounds like, Needy, I could be wrong on this, but it sounds like, you might work a lot of hours, as a business owner myself, owner of three businesses. I don't think I sleep actually, but, so with that being said, what do you like to do for fun?
I read a lot. Mm-hmm. I go for long walks. I have three, very beautiful girls. So I try to spend as much time as I can with them. But I think just living life, I do really believe I enjoy living and working, and working is a part of living in that sense. But it, you know, it's a good life we live.
Right. And you're becoming a role model for your children. And as I always say, they watch us and they're all watching us during this time and during this pandemic as well. And that's why even with our company, Refocus the Creative Office, we always say, you know, take a moment, stop, and refocus on what's important. So, and even in this conversation, Needy, I could talk to you forever. I'm so fascinated about your company and about what you do. And I'm anxious to look up some ideas as well for myself. But for one of the questions that we ask everyone on this podcast is that, you know, we all get frazzled. And at the end of the day, you know, we have to have game on. We have to be prepared for that pitch meeting or, you know, that if we're speaking or whatever it might be. And let's say, you know, you've got to go to that really important meeting and you get in your car. What is the music that you listen to that really gets you going and brings game on for you?
So again, my answer is a little bit vague in that sense, but I think it depends. You know, if you've had a crazy morning and you really want to get it out, then you listen to good rock music. If you had a really crazy morning and you want to take it in, then you listen to really nice classical music, I guess. But I like music that's across the board. I will listen to music in any language from any country, even if I don't understand it. And I think music speaks its own language, and it's just about what you feel in that moment and being in that moment with the music, because then you can leave all your troubles behind and come to it a little bit more focused. If you can focus your mind on the music, when you get where you're going, maybe you'll focus on that much cleaner and that much more clearer.
Absolutely. We have on our website, which is refocuswithangela.com, we have all of our episodes of our podcast listed there, and we will certainly put Needy's contact information for her company, as well as a copy of this podcast episode, and check her out. I think you're going to be, you know, really interested. I'm fascinated as well, but you can check her out there, and we'll put all of the links on there as how to reach her and reach her company and download those, you know, free opportunities, those free softwares. And would you remind us again what those were called for our audience that they can download and try those out for free? What were they called again?
So if you go to automationanywhere.com, you can get the community edition, which is the free version of our software. Mm-hmm. And you can go to Automation Anywhere University and get free training.
Great. Definitely. I'm going to have my husband do that. I'm just joking. No, I'm actually going to do that myself. So first of all, Needy, it has been a pleasure talking with you today and learning more about you, learning about your company. And for our audience, I think they are going to really enjoy getting to know you even more and probably feel like they even know more about you as a person, which I think is always a wonderful touch. So Needy Mehta Shukla is her name. And she is the co-founder and senior vice president of Automation Anywhere. So check her out. So Needy, thank you so much for your time. We graciously appreciate it.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure. Thank you, Angela.
Today's podcast was sponsored by Refocus, the creative office, where we create products that make your life easier. If you haven't checked out our new website, it's timetorefocus.com. The podcast website is refocuswithangela.com. On our Refocus website, you're going to see some new items added this week that you can't live without. They are definitely essential items that you can't find anywhere, and you'll definitely want to get your hands on those. So we've got several new products coming out. So follow us on YouTube, on our social media, on our websites, and we thank you so much for listening and have a great week.